Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Tuesday. We are done talking about the Blazers. They're not going to get much coverage this year, I don't think, at least on this show.
Well, not unless, like, bad things happen.
They're not worth it.
No, unfortunately. I feel bad, too. We were up, we got tickets from my gal's company to sit up in the suites, and the suites are now being combined, there's a bunch of suites, like, in one. They have, like, a common dining area and, you know, like, bathrooms, so it's like a big shared space with, I don't know, like, 10 suites kind of combined into one, and we felt so bad for the server, because he was like, Dad, I've never seen it quite like this. I mean, it was, it's just empty. Like, you just look around the arena, not only are those seats down below empty, but a lot, and you know, that guy relies on those for tips. I mean, that's a Sunday game at 6:00. That should be packed. Imagine what that's like on a Tuesday night.
Well, I would say just wait, but you're probably going to be waiting a while.
Yeah.
So I've got the college football Tempranillo teed up here.
Ooh, let's go.
For a bro. And it's going to start with a little piece of audio. And, you know, my theory is that all football coaches are insane.
100%.
And they are.
Yes.
Just varying degrees. You know, Buck and I were texting back and forth today about Jim Harbaugh.
It's like being on the spectrum, right?
Well, he certainly is. He's got a little Mike Leach in him.
Well, did you see him freaking out over missing a pass?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've seen any of his interviews recently, but my theory on him is that Jim Harbaugh filibusters in interviews because he doesn't. He hates them. I think all coaches hate them.
Yeah.
Some handle them better than others, but I think everyone has a different tactic. Lanning, you know, he comes on here and he's not gonna take your bait.
Yeah.
Harbaugh, I think his tactic is, I think he filibusters.
Yeah.
He will talk for 5 minutes and just ramble and ramble and ramble. And I honestly think he thinks it's funny. And he talks about nothing.
Yeah.
See, maybe he does think it's funny, but there is like an earnest, like, authenticity to the way that he talks sometimes. If he's doing bits, he's doing a great job at hiding that's not just like 100%. I mean, I think it may benefit him to talk about these things on and on, because then he doesn't have to talk about the real stuff. But, like, I don't know about thinking he's being funny. I think he thinks this stuff is interesting or fascinating, and it's not.
That too. Yeah. I mean, I saw him on McAfee yesterday, and McAfee said, he teed him up with one question, and I swear to God, he went on for 7 minutes and he named every single player and what he likes about that player.
Well, that was like the clip that I sent you today where he was saying one positive thing about Justin Herbert being able to hold on to the football, and it ended up in this four-minute diatribe about how the coaching staff is so supportive of each other, and someone went to Home Depot to get bricks and spray paint it with tape, and like now the men are holding the ball in the most important game, and like that's what this is all about. It's just crazy.
I just saw him. Herbert was throwing in passes and before the game. Harbaugh, by the way, is out there with gloves on.
Yes.
He's got receiver gloves.
He's already been wearing cleats for years.
Yeah,
now.
He's wearing cleats. God knows why, but he's got receiver gloves on.
Does he have his khakis on?
Yes. He's in khakis, like some sort of quarter zip, and he's got receiver gloves on and some cleats, and Herbert throws him a ball, and Harbaugh misses it. It bounces off his hands, and I'm telling you, watch the clip. Harbaugh is pissed. Like, it is unacceptable to be dropping passes. I'm like, hey, Jim, just lighten up.
He's competitive.
Lighten up, man.
Bring me.
He can't lighten up because that's why Jim Harbaugh is a great coach and I am not.
That's right. And they're all like that. Yeah. Well, not all of them, but I think they are all like that.
Dude,
to some extent.
Dan Lanning runs out of the tunnel and it looks like he is going to blow a hammy ever. Like he sprints. He does the Dabo sprint. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
God. I mean, even the ones that aren't successful, you may think that they
are see a cheetah stretch
as competitive or whatever, but they are.
Yeah. 100%. It's kind of
they're insane. They're all insane.
I think it's hard to get to that level and not
correct
be like that.
Well, here's another example. Okay, this is only about a minute. It is the coach at Syracuse whose name is something Brown.
Fran, isn't it?
Fran Brown.
Fran Brown?
Yeah.
Fran Brown.
Came from Georgia. I think Lanning knows this guy. They worked together at Georgia. He's the new head coach at Syracuse. Okay. And here is him. They lost last weekend.
As Syracuse is prone to do.
Yeah, I think they're having a decent year, aren't they? Aren't they like 6 or 7 wins, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Didn't they have the kid who threw the 3 pick sixes in one half?
Yes.
Or
the old Ohio State quarterback.
Colt McCord.
He threw, that was they were playing Pitt, and he threw not one, not two, but 3 pick sixes. Yeah.
They're 6-3.
Okay.
And they've lost 2 out of 3 here.
Better than I thought.
But big game coming up with Cal on that ACC skid.
Hey, you'll take 6-3 as an Orangeman.
Yeah. And so here was him after this loss. They just lost to Boston College. Here was his 1-minute diatribe.
Honestly, I got like a ritual. Like when we lose, I ain't even getting a shower till early this morning. I just be mad. I just brush my teeth. But it's like I don't deserve soap. I don't deserve to do all that. I'm just focused on like trying to get back and trying to make sure that our players mentally understand and know that I let them down, that they didn't do it. You know, I just wake up all night, especially when you lose. You like wake up like, dang, it really happened. You know, it really happened that way. So it's just different pieces. And then I just move on. There's a process that I follow every week, win, lose, or draw. Only thing is, like, my wife, I can't sleep in the bed if we lose because I ain't going to get in the shower for that day. I'm just mad, and I just sit there. I just brush my teeth. That's what I have to do so y'all won't say my breath stink. But I'm just kind of locked in at certain things, certain ways. I think you gotta earn the right to do certain things. So, you know, winners get washed. You know what I'm saying? I'm a loser. I just kind of waited a little bit.
What?
That's real, dude.
That can't.
It's real.
No.
No, it's real.
No.
Go look at his face.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead. He's not doing bits.
No, he is not doing a bit.
There's no sarcasm. Because it's hard to tell. Maybe he's just a deadpan. Maybe he's like a British humor guy.
That is a man who does not deserve soap. They're insane.
Man,
all of them.
And
by the way, Tom Izzo, I'm watching the Kansas-Michigan State game. Yeah. Izzo just, you know, his classic red face chew out.
Yes.
He just did it again. They're crazy.
I can't. And this is why, like, people ask me all the time why I didn't go into coaching. I think I would hate everyone I worked with. I
would you be one of those guys? You'd be one of those guys.
And that's my.
You're scared.
I had opportunities to go be GAs at a couple places. And people are like, hey, you should go. We think you'd be a really good O-line coach. And, you know, can you move your way up from that? And that was a twofold thing. One, I just was never a fan of coaches, even when I played. And I was legitimately afraid of becoming one of them because I just didn't see many others that were able to achieve a high level of success that weren't that way.
Right.
And I just think when you're around it, I just think you get caught up in the moment. Yeah. And before you know it,
it's the easiest
I don't
path.
Deserve soap.
It's the easiest path, right? You winners get washed.
Because I lost a lot of games in my life, and maybe this is why I lost, because guess what I did after losses? I took a shower.
Also, how about the flawed logic that brushing your teeth is something you need to do, but showering is not?
Right.
And that your breath might smell if you don't brush your teeth, but your body wouldn't potentially smell if you don't wash it?
He says he can't sleep in the bed with his wife.
No.
Because he stinks. By the way, this was yesterday, so this is Monday.
But so
they lost on Saturday, didn't shower.
I just don't get how one of those things is required and the other isn't.
I'm just trying to process what would happen, like, if we got our ass kicked, because we did get our ass kicked by Syracuse at Syracuse. Like, I'm trying to process what would happen if we came in the locker room and Lavelle's like, all right, boys, we're getting on the plane. No showers. We're like, excuse me? Like turf burn. Like, you're like, no. Winners get washed. Not you chuckle butts on the plane. You smelly bastards. Like, are you kidding me? Boy, you know, I had no idea that Fran was bringing this to the table.
You know who I've been thinking a lot about lately?
Who?
Mike Riley.
Yeah.
And the reason I've been thinking a lot about the great Mike Riley is he's the only guy, and there's varying degrees of these insane coaches. I mean, they're all, I think, a little crazy, but they're just different archetypes, you know, Leach and Harbaugh versus the angrier Izzos, you know, or whatever. But Mike Riley is the only guy I can think of that just was effing normal.
Yeah.
And he's just normal guy.
And what did I always say?
And a nice guy.
For all those years we did the show, I said when he was the coach, I said, if I was coming out of high school, I would have gone and played
for
Mike
Riley. He's just a nice guy. Yes. Like, find me another coach,
and
leader,
won.
Who is just basic nice dude. Helfrich. Helfrich was that.
That was a nice guy.
You know what? So they're out there. Riley, the success that he had, I'm just so impressed that he did it that way. And it makes me smile every time I think about him, because these guys are freaking crazy.
Yeah. I guess
I'm not reading up about old
Fran there, and I guess his big deal is Dart. Everything is Dart at Syracuse. And that is it's of course you gotta have an acronym. It means detailed, accountable, relentless, and tough.
It's like FIBO or
not accountable to BO apparently.
FIBO.
I kind of now want to pay attention to Syracuse football due to the insanity of Fran Brown. Also, I do think we should ask Lanning who was more intense. Dan Lanning, the Wilson Love, or Fran Brown.
Yeah, that's
like
good.
Or Kirby. In an intense off.
Or Tosh.
Where does this end up?
Or simply, what are your post-loss bathing habits?
Yeah. Do you shower after losses?
Do losers get washed? After you lost the Oregon State Civil War a couple years back, did you indeed take a shower?
You know, you haven't beat Washington yet. Have you showered since that last one?
Hey, showers are for closers. Just remember that.
So weird.
You're going to go home tonight and be like, you know what? I just didn't hit my marks today. I was over on the clock a lot. Sorry, honey.
I'm not going to be showering for 24 hours.
Not going to shower.
That's what winners do, and I was a loser today.
Boy.
Just the whole thing's a cult. It's weird.
It is. It's a cult of personality.
It's a cult, and it's weird. And I guess that's what it takes to be a leader of men, unless you're Mike Riley. And that's why I love that man.
Well, it's like yesterday, someone was the whole Kirby Smart calling that dude an idiot, and like someone was like, "Dude, grow up." But I'm telling you, when you're in that, like, I'm not kidding. That kid should be fearful. Like, someone's gonna go beat that kid up. I guarantee you, if that clip was circulating in that locker room after the loss, someone would be punching that kid. And they're like, "What's wrong with you?" And by the way, that's a valid point to have. But I told you, in that world, I would have punched that kid, and I would have thought nothing of it, because that's the weird. It is. It's a cult. There is a weird. It's not reality. It's not the real world. It's like being in the military. You hear the same thing about guys in the military. It's just a weird, isolated, knuckle-dragging, alpha male, creepy world. And when that's all you're around, nothing ever seems weird.
Yeah, it's the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, dude, it's just
way to lead.
It's monkeys throwing poop at a wall, and there's the scary chimp that no one wants to challenge.
Bizarre.
Yeah, trucks, balls, yeah.
But hey,
some of that. Yes.
Oregon's ranked number one.
That's all. Learned people. No.
Up next in our college football Tempranillo, Dylan Gabriel is him. on The Fan. College football playoff rankings are coming out again tonight, but this one they're doing in between the two college basketball games, so it'll probably be in about an hour.
Yeah, they do this sometimes where they just it's a nice little break between Duke's. A couple good games tonight, like you mentioned, Kansas, Michigan State, and then Duke and Kentucky.
Did we catch what they did for Dylan Gabriel out there the other day against Maryland when he broke the record? Anybody?
I don't know because I wasn't at the game. I don't think they. I mean,
they didn't really do anything on TV. If they showed,
not that you could tell on the broadcast.
Yeah, I didn't see any sort of grandiose thing. And then I was actually looking on Twitter about it too, and I didn't see if they did something. I did not catch it.
Maybe they didn't. But Lanning, I know, mentioned it in his post game. Press conference right off the top. He said, threw a little love at Dylan Gabriel, who is the all-time touchdowns leader in college football history.
I know, that's
pretty awesome.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Not just passing, just all tutties.
All time.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, and it's and it will probably, I mean, with the amount of football he played, and we talked about this, it's going to be hard to break because the extra year and COVID, and he's just been really good for a long time.
I heard on my favorite Ducks Roundtable show last night, driving home, I heard that, it's November. Did you know that?
I'm familiar.
It's November.
Yeah. Thanksgiving right around the corner.
November in Madison, Wisconsin can get a little hairy.
Yeah, not this week, I guess.
I heard on my favorite Ducks Roundtable show. There are many Ducks Roundtable shows, but none better than the one we have here.
No.
And Monday's at 7. Ryan Buckley said that it's supposed to be like 55 degrees and
sunny.
It's going to be like Eugene in the Midwest. It's not going to be anything to be concerned about.
Fantastic.
Man, that's catching a break. I mean, not that Oregon isn't meant to play in the snow, but I think anytime you're taking a team that's the superior team, the faster, more athletic team, you're better off if you're the home team, you're better off playing in the elements.
I mean, 55 and sunny is a whole lot different than, something sub-freezing temperatures with wind or snow on the ground. And, I mean, we're talking a night game, too. So, yeah, it matters.
Yeah.
Some of those first-round college football playoff games could have some snow on the ground.
Absolutely.
Right? Depending on where they are.
Yeah.
I mean, BYU.
Yeah, definitely. BYU or, Penn State, something like that. Absolutely. I mean, you're in the middle of, that would be like, beginning to middle of December?
Colorado.
Yeah.
Colorado. Ooh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be something? And look, I'll tip my cap. I did this yesterday to UCLA. And I'll tip the cap to Deion Sanders. Like, that thing looked like it was going off the rails. And even early on, I mean, they needed the Hail Mary to who is it? Who'd they beat with that?
That was Baylor?
No. Yeah, they beat a team. Yeah, was it Baylor? It was not even any good. Yeah, they won on a Hail Mary. Like, Colorado at the beginning of the year did not look good at all. And, and it was just with all the noise going on there, it was like, dude, this thing is going to be an unmitigated disaster. And Deion Sanders is a farce. And, the guy has pulled it together. And when you look around the Big 12, if they went out, I believe they do have the path now. They have the inside track. As long as they went out, they will play BYU in the Big 12 title game for a chance to go to the playoff. And they're sitting there at 7-2. Dude, that's a hell of an accomplishment. If you're Deion Sanders, I mean, that was a team a couple years ago that was as irrelevant as anyone in college football. And look at them now. So whatever you think of Deion Sanders, dude, tip of the cap.
Yeah, they have three games left, and all three are against losing teams.
Yeah, they got Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. And if they win out,
Kansas get them at home? We got to go there.
Well, BYU plays Kansas this week, and there are some people that looking at the analytics, Kansas is
playing better.
Is much better than their record indicates.
Oh, yeah, they're playing a lot better.
That is not a 3-6 team. In fact, I think I saw a thing where they were saying that from an advanced analytics, Kansas was the third toughest team that BYU's played this year. So there is a real chance that BYU could get upset. But they've got one in their hip pocket. They can stumble and still end up in the Big 12 title game. But I'll tell you what, it'd be kind of fun as a BYU guy. I'll take Deion Sanders and Colorado in the Big 12 title game. Let's do it.
Be a great game.
Yeah.
Somebody said that they did announce Gabriel's touchdown record on the video board at the end of the third quarter, which is exactly what we suggested to Dan Lanning on Thursday.
At the end of the third. Yeah.
Remember that?
But they, like, when he scored the TD, like, they just...
The game was kind of still in doubt at that point in time, at least score-wise.
I think that was the one that put him up. Was that the one that...
It was the one that went to the offensive tackle.
Yeah, that was the one that went up 21-0, or is that the one that put him up four scores. I forget.
But it didn't put him up four, I don't think. I think it put him up 21-10.
But it wasn't like a huge, you know, he didn't, I don't remember him grabbing the ball. Because I remember like being like, dude, are they going to, that, you know, is he going to go get the ball? I'm assuming someone went and got the ball for him and, you know, write that down and keep it in the trunk. But yeah, it was pretty subdued. I thought maybe at least because you've already stopped the play. It's, you know,
it put him up 29-10.
29-10.
Yeah.
You would just think that you would do some sort of just.
Well, they did at the end of the third, it sounds like.
Yeah, at the end of the third, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's a guy that doesn't want to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. But Lanning was on here Thursday. We were asking about it, and he was like, oh, yeah, I should probably get on that. So they did what we suggested. That's great.
Yeah, there are people that, and it is kind of cool that he threw it to a lineman. Like, you got a thick six to break the record. I want to ask him if he knew he was doing
a lineman who doesn't even play.
No.
Redshirt freshman. Jurnoris Wilson. There's your sports trivia question answer.
And then when he's an old lineman, but they put on a 91 jersey because he can't, you can't wear like a 70 and go out.
Because normally he's 78 or something like that.
So he's just like, they put like a 90 jersey on him so that he could line up as tight end, and they threw it to him.
Dusty said he knew something was up when they announced that right before kickoff. They're like, 78 is 91. And then after halftime, they're like, 91 is back to 78. Okay.
I'd like to believe that Dan Lanning's doing bits out there. He's like, watch this. Record-breaking TD, thick six. And for that kid.
And then followed it up with a
two-point conversion.
Two-point conversion, a read option from Connerly.
Well, and already you got Jordan Burch on a GD fake punt from inside your own red zone. The hell's going on over
you
there?
You ever see a cheetah stretch?
But for that kid, for that freshman to catch that TD pass.
Pretty cool.
Are you kidding me? Whatever happens in that guy's career, that guy will have the one of the coolest bar, like, kind of trivia. You know who caught the touchdown pass for the all-time NCAA leading touchdown scorer? Yeah, that was me.
He's got a place in college football history.
Yeah. It's his only touchdown, and Dylan Gabriel's 100 and whatever, 79th or whatever?
Yes, and it will be his. He's an old lineman. That will be the only touchdown, the only reception he'll ever have.
And he'll not get the ball.
Gabriel said he should have the ball, but that's obviously not going to happen.
Why not? If he said he should have the ball, give it to him.
I mean, Gabriel, I think, is doing the unselfish teammate thing, but he's like, I mean, how often does that happen for a lineman? Like, that's great for him. Shouldn't he get it? It was kind of cool to hear him say that.
Do you think they'll roll a live tiger down there to Wisconsin Saturday?
Did you see the comments?
Scare the ducks?
A live badger, maybe?
Comments about what?
Well, that, like, lieutenant governor or whoever, whoever the person was that basically okayed it, they basically like, well, at least one live tiger showed up at that game. The person, they basically took a shot at the whole team for being terrible against Alabama and saying like, well, we did our part. We brought a live tiger. Didn't see any life from the rest of the tigers out
there.
There
was one tiger there.
Yeah, no life from the rest of the tigers.
Dude, I love it. People just dragging their own football team. It was bad.
Is it possible that LSU fans are the most subhuman of all fan bases?
It's possible.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Who is? Because I think they're close.
Penn State fan.
Because
I'll go to my grave with that.
See, I think it's more of the...
They had a coach that covered up child rape.
We're talking apples and oranges, though. Yeah. Like, you're talking swamp people versus, like...
Subhuman.
I don't know, like the Sacklers or something.
Right. It's like Hills Have Eyes at LSU Stadium.
I'm trying to think.
Florida State's close.
Yeah, in northern Florida.
But I don't know, the LSU fan, like, did you see some of the crowd shot? Like, when they showed the crowd at LSU close up?
It's a lot.
Oh, my God. Every single person in that stadium is absolutely housed.
And they go on road trips, and, like, they drink entire cities dry.
Yes.
Like, and none of the other SEC teams can, but they can.
When you go there, they say that there's such a waft of booze over the stadium in those night games. Yeah. You can see it. Yeah. And then they're all, they got a live tiger, I mean, they're just insane. Like, they're subhuman down there.
From that standpoint,
it's a problem.
It is. And yet they say all the time that you need to go to at least one night game there to experience
it. I think you better be careful.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I was going down there, there is zero chance that you could get me to wear whatever team's gear that they were playing. Like, if BYU played down there, my buddy's like, hey, you want to go down and watch a game? I'd be like, yeah, I'm not wearing BYU gear. It's not happening. I won't even do that like at BYU Utah. I don't know if you saw any of that, but the BYU cheer coach, I guess, got knocked out by a bottle in the face.
I did see that.
Bottle of what?
I don't know.
Like somebody threw a bottle from the stands?
Someone threw a bottle, hit her right in the chops.
Yikes.
Down she went.
Knocked her unconscious.
Way to go, Utes.
It's bad. Like, that's a sneaky... You want to... And
are
I don't
you white people.
Well, yeah, I don't have any problem with Utah. I'm not one of those guys that hates my rival. But I will tell you this: if you want a sneaky garbage fan base, you know the reputation that the Jazz fan has.
Mm-hmm.
That's Utah fan.
Mm.
Utah fan is a sneaky garbage fan base, and I don't have any problem with the Utes and the team. I actually kind of root for them. I like Kyle Whittingham, but their fans, boy, it is.
Mm. Did you say Utes?
They're like, yeah, Kansas, go Utes.
They're like, well, who?
Kansas State. Or those ninnies from Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri way worse than Kansas State. Kansas State, they're fine. They're just a bunch of farmers.
Yeah.
They're just ag. They're simple.
Yeah.
Missouri, banjo. Trust me.
I do like that you called LSU fans subhuman.
It's a thing. Yeah. If you've been reading, too, about the live tiger debacle down there, They like people are all over them about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it, but the tiger was freaking.
Yeah, it was losing it. It was not, and they. I'm sure they medicated the tiger. Not
okay.
Was not happy.
It was not okay. All. That whole situation was bad. And those dumb f's down there have no idea they loved it. They
felt
it was the greatest
terrible
thing.
For that cat. You could tell that it was just like, what in the hell?
In the pregame, they did a shot with a couple of reporters, and the damn thing was passed out. Yeah. They freaking
drugged it up.
They drugged it.
Yeah.
But all the LSU fans are like, shut your mouth! God.
I was kind of hoping that tiger gets loose.
Yes.
Every time I see an animal being treated like that, I'm just like, I understand what's going to happen to that animal, but at least let it go out with some dignity and get like one or two. Just get one or two redneck hillbillies and just that are taunting it and yelling at it. Just let them have a little bit of wild before they take it out.
All right, we will talk more later on the college football Tempranillo about the big nooner and why everyone has a boner about the big nooner. That's later. In the news is coming up next. We have giant pumpkin boat news on the fam.
Then the bonus rewards program kicks in.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold on, your noted newsman's preparing. Now he's in pain. He has some ear problems, do you? Or is that the rotator cuff?
That's my shoulder.
It's tough to put in earphones when you get old, huh?
Oh, I'm hurt. I can't put on my sweatshirt. I can't put on it. I'm a mess. I'm a damn mess. It is November 12, 2024. It's time for the news. I'm your Notre Dame man. Hello. Nice to have you along. Please be seated. As always, it is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com.
For all your tiger law needs.
That's right.
If you've been injured by a tiger, there's only one place you need to go. Well, probably the hospital. Then you go to the Advocates.
It is the National Day of the French Dip.
Oh, I love a good French dip.
So celebrate your French dips.
Now I kind of want a French dip. The key to a good French dip, in my humble opinion, horseradish. You got to have a nice spicy one.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, what are we doing? What are the troops even fighting for?
That's like horseradish.
If I don't have a spicy one. I mean, what do we, come on.
Now, do you do that on the side or do you put it on?
No, I like to put it on. I mean, I guess you could do it on the side and do a little dip, but since I'm already dipping in the au jus, I like to do a nice layer on the bread. And then if I need extra, then I can take it for a lap.
It is also happy hour day, something that you and I never really get to experience.
No, and I do love a good happy hour.
Me too. I like early drinking.
Big fan. Big fan.
Oh, well, maybe someday,
Jace. Can't drink all day unless you start early.
Well, we have high wind warnings in effect for Southwest Washington and the North and Central Oregon coasts.
I know. I was walking my dog this morning, and I got a little thing on my phone, and I was like, uh-oh, like Amber Alert? No, just some wind. I don't know if I've ever had that.
It's getting crazy out there. They're actually saying that they thought maybe a tornado touched down in Rockaway Beach. Can you believe that?
Yeah, but every time they tell me that a tornado touches down and then I see like the footage of
it. No, it knocked down a fence.
Yeah, see, that's, you know.
I mean, you know.
That's what happens.
It's some damage.
You know, like a shed. Like
wind speed of 85 miles per hour.
A shed loses a roof or something. It's like, yeah.
That's kind of weird. Rockaway, like, that's right on, you know, right on the water there.
Well, I mean.
Tornado?
Yeah, well, you do get the wind coming off the
but
water.
A tornado?
The big water.
9:24 p.m. last night. Lasted about 1 or 2 minutes.
Sorry for your high wind loss.
But there's a big storm pushing in right about now.
I got sent home from school once when I was like in the 7th or 8th grade due to high winds. Couldn't believe it. They literally, they let us out of school. It was like 1993. You can look it up. It's the Great Windstorm. The middle of the school day. Y East Middle School. They sent us home due to wind. And not wind that was there, the wind that was coming.
Well, wouldn't it be safer to stay in school?
I don't know what to tell you, man. That is a 100% true thing.
Or they're like saying the wind was coming.
The wind was coming.
They didn't want to whisk you away on your way home.
So at like 11:30, like right before lunch, they made the announcement. That, and I was like, what if like we, like parents are working, you're just going to send us home unsupervised? None of us went home. We just took to the streets and did God knows what.
Is there anything better than when you're a kid and you get the surprise day off?
Oh, that was amazing.
And you're not sick? Like, just so great. Like, the kids in Albany, the Albany School District, they got that today.
On strike.
Because the teachers went on strike, and so all the kids are like, yes.
And it's made all the better when your parents don't have a plan for it either, because they didn't know. Like, it's not, like, just that you didn't know, but you're the parental units across the board are like, well, crap, I don't know what to do with them. I guess they're on their own. And you're like, yeah!
It's an amazing feeling. You just, except now, nowadays, the kids just then stay at home and, like, they play on their phones. Back in the day, you didn't have anything to do, so you just took to the streets.
Climb trees, ride bikes, dig holes.
Blew something up, lit something on fire.
Get in a fight, shoot BB guns.
Yeah.
Steal from Quick Trip.
Fish for crawdads.
Unfortunately, that day of the great windstorm, Adam Stokey, my buddy, got his UNLV starter parka jacked by some older kids.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's a horrible free off day.
Yeah. Well, he made the mistake because everyone got released, and so the high school kids and the junior high kids out at the same time, it's problematic. So we were stopped and we were roughed up, and the rest of us had the sense to run. And unfortunately, he stopped to converse with them, and he lost his starter parka. It was a sad day. Mm. Sad day, that windy day.
It's tough out there.
It is.
All right, I'm going to tell you next about a man named Gary, a local man who has carved his name into the record books. Next on The Fan. All right, this is in the news for November 12, 2024. You know, every once in a while, a man named Gary comes along and rocks our world, you know?
Love the Garys. I'm a big fan of Garys and Bobs. You tell me, hey, you need to meet Gary, you need to meet Bob. I'm like, all right, let's do this. Maybe a nice Dan.
This is Gary Christensen, and he is an Oregon man. And he lives in Happy Valley, and he has recently set a record. A Guinness World Record, not just any record, Guinness World Record.
Is there any other kind?
He paddled nearly 46 miles in a giant pumpkin.
Yeah.
On the Columbia River. He did that in October, and that's a record.
Yeah.
45.67 miles, and it is the longest journey by pumpkin boat.
Yeah. Again,
and at times he did have to battle the elements out there.
I like on the pumpkin, it just says it's real. again, as I've said many times in these sorts of stories, congratulations on the record. Impressive.
He called it Punky Loafster.
But as I ask every time, why?
Why not? Why not?
Well,
it's an easy question to answer. Why not?
How long did it take him to paddle that?
It took him...
Let's see here. 35 hours.
35 hours.
So he paddled for 35 straight hours?
Yes.
What was his food sitch like?
I don't know.
A couple power bars in there with him, or what are you doing? It's a long time.
Yeah. It just... the idea of doing anything for 35 hours for the sake of being in a record book, although, you know, he said that was a goal of his since he was a kid, so there he is.
Is there something dangerous about that on the river, like at night? I don't know.
Well, he's in a life jacket, and I'm sure there was like a support pumpkin boat next to him, maybe like a giant squash that, you know, I don't know, a cucumber or something. I see him. He looks happy as can be.
Yeah, he really did enjoy this, Gary. You can see it in his eyes and on his face.
I'm assuming he grew the pumpkin?
He's really excited. No, the pumpkin comes from Jim Sherwood. And he's the guy who won the Giant Pumpkin Award.
Okay.
Remember him?
Yeah. Said he trained in earnest. He ran 5 miles a day and spent weekends kayaking stretches of the Columbia, preparing for the river's currents.
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
Pretty big time.
I think kayaking... That many miles on the Columbia is impressive, let alone a pumpkin.
I didn't even know you could do that.
I didn't know. I thought I would sink a pumpkin.
I knew that they floated. I knew you could actually turn them into, like, little boats. But my question then becomes, how do you know when you have the right one? Because, like, it's pretty easy to tip a regular boat that's meant for floating. Like, a round pumpkin, I feel like, would tip pretty easy.
Yeah. Maybe you got to test it out, you know?
Well, and then also, they go bad. They get mushy. So, like, you only have such a window to figure out that you got the right equipment.
Yeah, he said the somewhere around Multnomah Falls, the conditions worsened, and he started taking on water. He said at that point, I was basically paddling a bowl of pumpkin soup. He said he kept trying to bail water, but he thought he was going to capsize.
Did he drink it?
No, he said he just kept paddling. Can you imagine how disgusting that was? He's just sitting in a giant pumpkin mush. Yeah, he just kept going though. So there you go.
What a champ!
Yeah. He rested for just 3 hours.
Oh, he was allowed to rest.
Yeah, he said he rested for... he said he had to wait for calmer currents. Rested for 3 hours.
I'm sorry. The Guinness book should not include breaks in your record. I know you did it, but...
I agree.
If the conditions weren't great, then you didn't do it.
Buckley's calling him out.
Well,
a little bit. I mean, I think it's quite the feat, but it seems like it was non-consecutive.
Do you think he squashed the previous record?
Yeah.
And then he had some light bars that he cracked.
Nothing.
Well, this story just gets better and better. So I guess he cracked the, you know, some of the chem lights or whatever, and they caught fire. The light bars caught fire just a few hours after nightfall, and he had to put the fires out.
Toasted pumpkin seeds.
But it burned a hole in the seat, and it scorched his life preserver.
Jesus.
The perils of pumpkin floating.
Totally.
Oh, my God.
Much less the sharks out there.
Yeah. And then they beached the pumpkin at 7 a.m. to try to catch a few hours sleep. So he did not... This was not a nonstop thing.
Well, clearly not.
No, he took breaks.
And there's his food sitch. He probably
had a nice little meal. Had a little sando.
There's a bunch of kayakers behind him. They probably gave him a sandwich.
Yeah, someone's got a backpack and a cooler.
Yeah,
takes a pee real quick.
He did catch himself on fire, so... I mean...
whatever.
Yeah.
Nice job, Gary.
Way to go. The Gare Bear. Out there breaking pumpkin records.
That is in the news for November 12, 2024. Coming up next, we have the Hot 5 at 5, but you probably already knew that. We have an offensive coordinator fired in the NFL. The NBA Cup is tonight. And Juan Soto has set his meeting list. Free agent meeting list. Are the Mets on it?
I'm guessing anyone willing to give him the money will be on the list.
Are the Mariners on it? No. That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.